I'm ready.
Hi, this is Lindsay.
And this is Candace.
Welcome to Our Lady Parts.
And we are not talking about our vaginas.
No, but we are talking about women.
We are talking about women.
Who have them today.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, I think they do.
Yeah, I think they do too.
Today, I've been coaxing Candace into this. I want to talk about inspirational women. Not necessarily famous, but women who've had an impact on history. And I wanted to talk about when we found out about who they were in our lives, like if we were kids or teenagers or adults, and kind of how they steered our process and our thinking. Maybe they didn't change our lives at all, but they definitely, for me, have had an impact on how I see things and my perspective. So we're going to start. And this one...
Wait, am I starting this?
No, I'm going to start.
Okay, okay.
With Emily Wilding Davison. She, so if you
have... Which I don't know anything about any of these people you're talking about, really.
I know, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's
the whole point of this. You're like informing me, educating me on these people.
I think as a girl who lost a woman influence in my life, I've always really not lost her. She's not dead. My mom's alive. But I lost her as a prominent figure in my life when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point on... I think I clung to the idea of women. So anytime I heard a story of an inspired woman, I just like went down that rabbit hole and like tried to bleed out everything I could about her life.
Interesting.
That's like how I've always been. I mean, since I was maybe like 13 or something.
My mom stopped being like that type of figure to me probably when I was, I mean, the craziness started when I was probably a lot younger than this, but like, started in like 7th, 8th grade, definitely 9th grade. Like it wasn't a mother-daughter relationship at that point at all.
Yeah, that's so weird. That's the my mom, things happened younger, but the relationship kind of stopped being what it should have been at the same age,
which is when it should flourish.
I think so. And I think that's why for me, I clung to the idea of other women in the world being like, well, I do need my mom, but I don't need my mom. I can model what I want to be off everyone else.
Yeah.
So like if you were to ask me all the women in my life, they're all teachers, guidance counselors, my friends, parents, like all those women made a mark on me because they were easily accessible.
Yeah. And I think I took a different route, which I didn't really cling to other women. I looked at my mom as exactly what I did not want to be. And so I just did the opposite of what she did. And so I think technically she was still like a role model to me, just in the opposite way.
Oh, I think that's just as powerful.
Yeah. So I didn't really cling to women, which you know a lot more about influential women than I do. But I have a few that is funny because it kind of has a story about my mom. But okay.
I think that if you haven't seen the movie Suffragette, you need to go watch that as soon as you get a free moment, anybody who's listening to this, because I feel like at this point in our lives, we take the right to vote as women for granted. It is not, I mean, I can tell you I've got 3 or 4 friends off the top of my brain that don't vote.
I have voted once.
Okay, I did not know that about you, but I feel so strongly that you should vote, even though like our tiny little vote doesn't go that far, but...
I think the first time I was able to vote, I just still wasn't in the point of my life. Like, yes, it is important when you turn 18 to be able to vote and stuff. And I'm sure people like love that. Like when they turn 18, they can finally vote.
Yeah.
But with me, I think I was still too immature to care at that point.
Yeah. And now I feel like that you start off being like, oh, I don't care. I don't know. My vote doesn't matter. And then as you get older, you're like, well, my vote doesn't matter anyway. The world's going to do whatever they want. You got the craziest voting for whoever.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm going to tell you this story about Emily Wilding Davison. So she died in 1913.
She died in 1913?
She died in 1913.
When was she born? Do you know?
No, we could look it up on Google.
Let's look it up.
You look it up and I'll tell her story.
Okay.
So, Emily died in 1913. She was a suffragette, one of the original in the UK. And what they were doing was rallying for the right to vote. It wasn't illegal for women to vote until 1832 or 30, something like that.
She was born in 1872 in London.
1872. So,
and she died in Epsom. Epsom? Epsom. It's M.
E-M-P-O-S-O-N.
No, it ends with an M.
Oh.
E-P-S-O-M.
Oh, I was spelling it wrong, Matt. Yeah, Epson. But she You're fine. She was with these women, and they were rallying for the right to vote, and her friends were losing their jobs. They were going to jail. Their children were starving, and she was desolate. She was like, all we want is to be heard and respected. And in Great Britain at the time, they're like, no, you women are dumb. Like, you don't deserve the right to vote. Like, you're so way feather. There's no way that you could.
But you know what's crazy? I'm just looking at her, like, from the Google, just the Google. She went to... like four different colleges.
Yeah,
she went to St. Hugh's College, Oxford, University of Oxford. I don't know if that is the same school or not, but
I don't know. Can tell
whatever
you.
University of London and Royal Holloway, which I don't know what it is, but I'm sure
some
it's a school.
Some of those might be finishing schools. They might not all be universities, but yeah, still, she's an educated woman.
Yeah,
and she got flustered, and they had planned to go to this derby in Epsom. To get the attention of King Edward V. And at this time in history, this is when they were switching from the king being in charge of everything to the ministry, their government taking over. And so she was just trying to get attention and spread the word and say, hey, can you help us out? Can you be on our side? And they were basically pushed aside. No one would let them through. No one was paying attention to them. And she, it was like her final straw.
Yeah.
So she grabbed the reins of the king's horse, King Henry V.
And I want to point out, there's a lot of places that say that she threw herself in front of the horse, but she didn't throw herself in front of the horse.
No, she grabbed his reins and then essentially got trampled on by the horse and died. Mm-hmm. And we were reading just a minute ago, and I thought she died instantly.
No.
But they were like, they took her unconscious to a hospital and didn't operate on her for two days.
Which, duh, you're not going to live. Like, so, what?
Yeah, and then she died a few days later. Yeah. Like, what? But she died in 1913. And let me tell you these stats. The U.S. passed by Congress the women's right to vote in June of 1919. It didn't get ratified by the states, so you have to have enough states to vote yes for it, until August of 1920.
Oh, can I tell you a little snippet about her? I think I'll just look up these women as you're going through.
That's fine.
Because this is really interesting. She was a member of the Women's Social and Political Union. And she was arrested on 9 occasions. She went on hunger strikes 7 times.
And I forgot about the hunger strike.
Force-fed 49 occasions.
I think that's why some of them were arrested, because they stopped eating. They were like, we're not going to let you die. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, so she was force-fed 49 occasions.
Dang.
And there's other things where, like, her family, like, now, I think there's, like, a, like, obviously it's generations and generations later, but, like, that have information saying that she did not do this to, like, kill herself. She was doing it because I guess there was, like, on some Big Brother celebrity episode or something, they had an argument that she was trying to kill herself, and she wasn't. She was trying to, like,
get attention. She was trying to be like, hey, this is serious.
Yeah.
And at that time, we didn't have a voice. But so she died in 1913. In the UK in 1918, women over 30 gained the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until 1928 that all women of age could vote.
5,000 people plus their supporters went to her funeral. 50,000 people lined up the route through London. Her coffin was taken to the by train to the family plot.
Yeah. It was huge. I'm getting
crazy.
I know. She's just a really... I didn't find out about her, obviously, until I watched that movie like 5 or so years ago. I don't know how old the movie is.
Yeah. It doesn't say if she had any children or anything, so...
I don't think she was ever married or had children.
Interesting. I mean, it's not like interesting, but I mean, it's interesting that she has some type of family still, so I'm assuming it's like nieces and nephews, great 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 great, obviously. Yeah. But
she left a legacy
somewhere. Yeah, that are teaching, still spreading her word and stuff.
She was like one of the original, like, what you would call a modern day feminist.
Yeah, it says that on here. That's super cool. Definitely look her up. This is information. This is interesting information.
Yeah. And watch the movie. It's not completely historically accurate. They obviously have to add some drama in there, but it is.
There's a movie about this.
It's called Suffragette.
Okay.
And it's really, really.
Do you know good. Where they people can see, like, watch the movie? Is it on Netflix or Hulu or anything that you know of?
I'm pretty sure I saw it on Netflix, but I know that they're all changing. So just, you know, look it up first.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. I'm one of the platforms that everybody in the world subscribe to now.
But I just think she's one of the most influential. And this year is an presidential election, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Is it this year?
Because we voted last in 16, and 4 years later we vote.
Yeah.
He goes in office next year. So I think with this being an election year, that you should at least, you know, pride yourself in the fact that we can vote, whether you choose to or not. I don't care. I don't care what you do, but you should at least pride yourself that we do have a voice.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Do you want to go next?
Yeah. So I, like I said, I didn't really have a lot of women that made a huge influential pact. Is that the word? I don't even know. I'm tired, guys. I have no idea what I'm talking about today. But I didn't have like a huge impact is what I was trying to think of in my life. The one person that, and like, I've never been a huge person to like fangirl over somebody. Like all celebrities, like, cool, I do have some favorite celebrities and like favorite people that do things in the world and stuff. But my absolutely favorite person that I think I am a fan of, but like, I'm not the over crazy fan. I don't know how to explain it, is Patsy Cline. I loved Patsy Cline. I obviously was not born when she was alive, but it started off with Patsy Cline. My mom is from Southern Alabama, and so this is the type of like music and stuff that my grandmother would play and that she would listen to. So from as long as I can remember, my mom was a huge Patsy Cline fan, and she would sing those songs to me. And I mean, she probably shouldn't sing. Sorry, Mom, you're not a good singer. But she sang Patsy Cline songs to me, and those were probably the first songs that like I knew by heart. Somebody is calling me from Audrey's school. Hold on, guys.
Hello?
All right, guys, sorry. We paused there for a minute because Audrey's school called me because somebody accidentally, I don't know if it was an accident, but they were messing around playing in the cafeteria during lunch and a lunchbox got thrown. And I'm thinking it was like a metal lunchbox or something because it hit Audrey underneath the eye. And now the secretary said, I know, the secretary said it was all swollen and a mark on her eye. And she was too embarrassed to go back to class. I feel so bad for her.
She sounded so upset.
She was so upset. Well, I think because she heard me, she was like, it choked her up more because I'm her mom. And so like, yeah.
I know.
I was the same way. If I was little, I was like fine and stuff. But if something happened, if, as soon as I heard my mom or dad's voice, I was like, oh.
Yeah. It's just kids, you know.
Yeah. So Will, I actually called Will. I was going to actually be like, all right, Lizzie, we got to rush through this.
Yeah,
but
like, we can go get her.
Yeah. But Will said that he would leave work and go get her. He is wrapped around my kid's finger, like especially the girls. And so if anything like that, I knew he was going to say that. Like, he's like, I'll go get her right now. And I was like, okay. Oh, he's so sweet. I know. Poor girl. I feel so bad for her. But then she can just come home and relax and hang out and rest. And so, and she was too embarrassed to go back to her class because of the mark. She said that it was swollen pretty bad. But I thought she was going to tell me that she needed stitches or something. I was about to be like, let's go, Lizzie. We're going to the ER.
I could hear it because you're talking into the mic.
Yeah.
And I had my headphones on. But the way she said it was like, she set it up like this is about to be really bad. And
I know.
I was like, oh, she's going to be fine. I was like, oh, she's fine. There she
Yeah, I thought, home. Yeah, because I was like, oh, me and Lindsay are about to get these kids to go to the ER.
I know. She was like, well,
I know.
And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's fine.
But back to my thing, my person is Patsy Cline. I feel like her music was the first music that I ever really knew, like the lyrics to and stuff. And I just love her music. And she, I don't know a lot about her as a person in general or like what her like beliefs were or who she was or anything, but I just know that her music touched me and I think that's all that matters. And her actual name is Virginia Patterson Hensley. So I'm assuming Patsy Cline was her like stage name.
Well, it's because she got married to Gerald Cline.
Okay.
So Patterson, she probably took Patsy.
Oh.
And Cline, so that was probably how she
I didn't
that.
Even think about
she
that.
She got divorced. She only was married to him for a few years, and then she married Charlie Dick.
But she was pretty young. She died at 30 in 1963.
In a plane crash. Do you know about 1963?
No, you'll have to tell me about it. But hold on. You'll have to tell me about it in a minute. But It says that she was the most influential vocalist of the 20th century. So obviously she was influencing me too, even today.
So many people.
Yeah, even today. And so she was one of the first country artists to successfully cross over into pop music, which is a lot like Taylor Swift that we're going to talk about in a little bit. And Dolly Parton. Yeah, for sure. But she had, it says she had several major hits during her 8-year recording career, including two number one hits on the Billboard Hot Country and Western Sides charts. She was born in Virginia in 1932, and then she passed away in a plane crash on March 5th, 1963, when she was 30 in Camden, Tennessee. So I'm assuming Lindsay knows all about this plane crash and all the details in Tennessee.
I did not. Well, I mean, that's the year my dad was born, so that's way before my time.
Okay.
But I do know about the year of 1963, which is heavily compared to...
I didn't know she had kids.
Oh, I didn't either.
She has two kids.
Children, too. I don't know who they are.
Me neither.
You know what? I'm pretty sure they're in the music industry probably still, so I don't know.
You think so?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're with Gerald Klein or Charlie Dick.
I'm going to tell you something.
Do you know?
I had a customer whose last name was Klein, and he was a manager. He managed, what is his name? I'll look it up in a second.
Your Southern accent just came out. He's big time.
He's dead. But he was best friends with this guy and was his manager for most of his career. And I'm pretty sure he's related to Patsy Cline.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
And I went to his 80th birthday party. And I was the only what? I was the only person under 60 there.
That is so cool.
Also the only female. His house is super cool. And he's got all these stacks and stacks and stacks.
You don't remember his first name?
Oh, I can't tell you his first name. He's my client. But I know who he is.
Oh. You don't work there anymore, though.
I know, but still, I don't know. It's just a little too... I don't know.
But could you personally look it up and figure out if he was related to Patsy Cline? And he's passed away, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no, he's still alive. I'm 100% sure he's related to Patsy Cline.
Oh, you know for a fact he's related to Patsy Cline.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes, absolutely know that. I mean, there's just so much of... He's not...
Is he a child of hers?
No, he wasn't his mom because his parents... I don't know how he's related to her, but I do know because he's got some of her stuff, like memorabilia.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I don't know how he's related. I do know he is related, but it's
he could be like a nephew kid. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His dad got him in the industry, so...
His dad got him in the industry. Is he a singer?
No, he was a manager.
Like an artist manager. Like yeah. He managed like songwriters and singers.
Yeah,
let
me tell you who he managed. What's a famous?
And he's 80?
He's several years older than, because this was several years ago.
But he's like old.
Yeah, he's older. What was his name? Can never remember. I'll think of it.
Oh, the guy he managed, you can't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. He's real famous, but I just always forget.
Is he famous still today?
Mm-hmm. When I say his name, you're going to be like, Lindsay, you're so dumb. Why couldn't you think of his name?
Is he older or younger?
He's dead.
He's dead?
Yeah, he died.
Johnny Cash?
No, close. Oh my God, it's so close.
Hold on, Jimmy Dean?
No, older than that. I mean, younger than that.
I don't know. I'm just looking up who... was associated acts with Patsy Cline.
Well, no, so it'd be general. It'd be a couple, like 10 or 15, 20 years.
I don't know who would be.
What is his name? He's called the King of Country. Jesus.
Elvis Presley?
He is not the King of Country. He's like the King of Rock and Roll.
Here, let me look it up. Hold on. King of Country.
Jesus. Everyone gave me crap about him at the bank, though, because... Oh, he always called me. He'd come over and he used to bring me.
So client, what do you mean by like he's your client?
I was his banker.
You were his banker.
Yeah.
Who? Oh, and so it comes up the King and Country pop duo. No, I want to know who the King of Country was.
Jesus, I can't.
Zach Williams?
No. This had to have been in the 70s.
Who is considered the King of Country? George Harvey Strait, and he is not dead.
No, it's not George Strait. We're getting closer. I think it's George something else.
George Jones?
It was George Jones, dear Jesus.
Okay.
Why is that? I can never remember. Yeah, George Jones, he was his manager.
Interesting.
I think that's right.
Yeah, he died April 26, 2013.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
It was him. Yeah.
He cool.
He'd given him his dog the last few weeks of his life because he asked for his dog. So
he died at 81. So were they around the same age?
Yeah. This Mr. Klein was a little bit older.
Mm. Okay.
He's still alive, though. I mean, a little bit younger.
Well, George Jones got around.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. But anyway, so 1963, let me tell you.
Married four
so
times.
1963, so much history happened in that one year. It's like this famous year. And the only reason I know this is because this is the year my dad was born. Mm-hmm. And I was watching something on JFK. And I was like, Dad, you were born like just a few weeks after JFK, Dad. What was that like? And he was like,
I was a baby newborn.
I was a baby. I was like, oh, yeah, duh. So I asked my grandmother the same question. And she was like, 1963, I was pregnant the whole year. And it was a most awful year.
Yeah, like crazy things were happening.
In 1963, Patsy Cline died.
Yeah.
Which I didn't.
In Tennessee.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, but her plane crashed in Camden, Tennessee.
I don't even know where that is.
Me neither. I'll look it up.
But then that was the year of the march on Washington with Martin Luther King.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
It was in March, I think. The march on Washington. And then JFK died on November 26, 1963. Also, we were in war. Something happened in Baghdad. People were dying left and right. I mean, it was a crazy, 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 crazy year. And
it's in Benton County.
It's in Northwest Tennessee. Yeah. I'm more familiar with Middle and East.
Yeah, me too.
That's why, except for Memphis. But that year, everyone in 2016, 2017, 2018 were like, this feels like 1963 because so much happened. Everyone was dying, all the singers and songwriters. Like, all the crazy stuff was happening where we were like, were we going to get attacked by Syria? Like, the world felt very similar to how it did in 1963. Tom Petty passed. You know, other people.
Can't think of anybody.
I know, it's just because I'm obsessed with Tom Petty as well. Oh. I like know that. Okay. Anyway, so that's really interesting.
Yeah.
That we're like digging through. Okay, so speaking
do
of...
Do you... I have a question for you. Because you just said something and it like triggered something. Not triggered. I hate the word triggered. Like said upset somebody. But like it like came up in a memory of my phone. How do you feel about family history? How do you feel about looking back at your own family history and like where it comes from and stuff? How do you like, have you ever done that?
Yeah, actually. I mean, I know very, very little about my mom's family history.
Same.
But I'll tell you this.
Oh, God.
It's because my mom's family's in the Mexican mafia.
My
great-granddad left Mexico, fleeted
yeah.
to San Antonio, which isn't much further from where I think they're actually from in Mexico, and they lived there. So then my grandfather may or may not have been in the mafia, we don't know, but I used to have uncles, quote-unquote, that would, like, pop up places, and then they all had the similar names, and I was a kid when he died, so I don't really know how much of, like, what I fabricated in my mind is true. But I'm 100% sure he did some illegal things.
Your mom's dad.
My mom's dad, yeah. And he had a whole life before my mom and my grandma. He has 5 kids by another woman.
Oh, wow.
And they, like, don't have anything to do with us. And, like, I've invited them all to my wedding. And only the one that I've never met responded to me. No, she didn't show up. She responded. Everyone else, like, I've had contact with and met.
So you have aunts and uncles that you don't even have a relationship with, that you probably have tons of cousins also that no relationship.
I only have like 4 cousins, I think, from them.
Oh, really?
2 that I've met, maybe 6. 2 that I haven't met, and then 2 more that I haven't met.
Mm, interesting.
I think. I don't even know.
Does family history interest you
at all? So my dad's family obviously know a lot more. Mm-hmm. And we basically, my dad did trace it back because he's obsessed, basically came off the boat from Ireland.
Yeah.
Trotted their way down to McMinnville, Tennessee, and never left.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, we didn't come from 100% Irish, but...
Oh, we're not Irish. One person married to an Irish person, and now we're considered Irish. We're from England.
Oh, yeah, we're from England, too. But I've looked up. I have had better luck with my... I think I've done pretty good with both sides, but I've gone way, way back to the point where I'm pretty sure George Washington is related to me.
That is so cool. I don't have anyone famous that's not a criminal related to me.
Yeah, and then also one of the like really, actually, wait, what was the king's horse that, it was probably way before that, but what was his name?
King Henry V.
I'm related to some kind of king. Well,
they're all related. So if you're related to one king, you're related to all the kings.
Oh, well, I am. So Oh yeah, the duh, that makes sense. Yeah. I'll have to show you one day, like when we have some free time, I'll bring up my family history stuff because I've gone way back. Have you done your like 23andMe DNA kits or ancestry or anything?
No, we want to do ancestry.com because 23andMe freaks me out.
But why?
Because now I'm not opposed to sharing my DNA for the betterment of the world. They're not going to come after me. I've got a lot of crap wrong with me, so it'd probably be very interesting for science to have my DNA. But I don't appreciate that 23andMe is shady as F about it.
Oh God, don't. What are you going to tell me? Because I've done both.
Well, they sell your stuff without your knowledge. And that's what I don't like. If you're going to sell my stuff, that's fine. But I want to know about it.
Yeah.
And so it came out this huge thing. Ben had just bought his 23andMe because you couldn't do the food sensitivity and all that with it.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I just did the health check, which I don't have any of the crazy factors. Like, I don't have breast cancer or any of those.
I'm pretty sure I have all of it.
Type. Like genes. I don't have anything.
I'm going to get it done before I have a baby. But yeah, so I just can't do 23andMe because I'm just like, I just want you to tell me if you're going to use this, if you're going to sell it to the police or whatever, that's fine. Just let me know. I haven't done anything wrong. I don't have anything to hide. I just don't want you to do it behind my back.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've done both. And it was so funny because my dad, listen to this carefully. Okay, listen to the story carefully. Okay. I know we're kind of off track, but whatever.
It's fine.
We never
promised we'd stay on topic.
I know. I did both of the tests, and I had I think he's a second cousin. So my dad's grandma was a twin. Their names were Cecil and Sisal. Which is hilarious. So Sisal was my...
I'm going to draw a diagram. So your dad...
Okay, so my dad has... My dad's mom's Grammy.
Your dad's mom's mom...
Yep.
...had a twin.
Yep, had a twin. And Cecil and Sisal. Cecil was the twin sister. Sisal was my dad's grandma.
Okay.
Cecil had children. And one of their children, so one of her grandchildren, so the same like generation of me, but on the opposite side of the other twin, reached out to me. Like he found me because I don't know any of these people.
So your grandmother had a child who had a child.
Wait.
That's your dad's age.
No. Oh, maybe it is my dad's generation then.
It is your dad's generation.
So...
I'm an expert.
Yes, my dad's generation, because he's like 40 something. He's a little bit older. He's my second cousin.
So it'd be his first cousin. You'd be your first cousin twice removed.
Oh, whatever. So
no, it's your second cousin once removed.
Interesting. Okay, so it's my second cousin, whatever, right? Once removed.
It adds, that means a generation.
Oh, okay. So he reached out to me and like found me on Facebook and wanted to see if I was like related to him. He had came up on like our DNA test, like matched or whatever. And he wanted to see how exactly, because it doesn't tell you on there. It just says like your possibility of 4% or like this could be your third cousin or fourth cousin or second cousin or whatever. And so he was like, I'm just trying to figure out like how we're related and like where we like share and stuff like that. And it was really cool. And I was like talking to him about it. And there's a thing with the DNA kits. I don't know the like proper way to explain this, but the male, I think it's because they have the X and Y chromosome and we only have the X chromosome, that they have more DNA that can like trace back to different things, if that makes sense. I don't know. Something about men. So if you have, I know. So like if you would have a brother, you would want your brother to do the test opposite of you. Well, I did have a brother. I do have a brother, but he passed away. So he obviously cannot take this DNA test. So I am the only one with like me and my brother's generation to be able to do it. So like I have some information, but I just don't have all the information. So I asked my dad, I was like, Dad, if I got you one of these for Christmas, would you take it? Because my mother-in-law, I've also asked her and she refuses to take one. I don't know why, but she just refuses. She doesn't want to do any of them.
She doesn't want her DNA sold.
I don't think it's that. She's just stubborn, but she doesn't want to do anything. So I'm like, okay, well, Dad, will you do this DNA test? And he was like, yeah, for sure. Like, whatever. And this is what he says to me. What if you're not my daughter, though?
Oh, my God.
I said, Dad, for one, I look just like you. And for two, how would I be connected to one of your cousins on your side of the family already through my DNA if you were my dad?
That's such an irrational thing that I would go through my mind and be like, what if he's not my dad?
I know. No, I just thought he was just being funny.
Oh.
But yeah, I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. That
is so funny.
Yeah, but I get connections all the time. It's pretty cool. I haven't.
So you're telling me I need to do it.
Okay, so the one reason why I did both of them is because my dad has hinted that I could possibly have another sibling that would be older than me out there somewhere. And so that is the reason why I've done both. Because if anybody if there was a sibling out there that likes happened to do this, I would match with them.
So, you know, that's interesting. So, like, my cousins that are from my mom's siblings that were from another marriage, my grandpa, mm-hmm. they don't really have anything to do with us. But I feel like if I didn't know about them and then we did this and we connected that way, we'd both be so excited to know each other.
Probably.
But now, they don't know that I'm not that close to my mom. They don't know that I would be so happy to see them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they probably think I'm just crap.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many... I can't talk about the next thing I want to talk about. I'll talk about you off of the podcast, but I can't share it on the podcast.
That's fine. Well, let's move on to our next.
Okay.
So we talked about Patsy Cline, and it was going to somehow lead me into Dolly Parton, which it didn't do that.
Nope.
But Dolly Parton, I guess connections would be she's a woman and she sings country music. But I love Dolly Parton, mm-hmm. and I grew up in Tennessee. She's from Tennessee. I mean, she's from Sevierville, just a few hours away. And I think this woman is life-changing. Like, she's changed this world for the better without us even knowing it. And without her ever saying, I'm going to change the world.
Yep.
She just did it.
Yep.
She's the type of woman where she literally inflated her breasts, put them out to the world. And if you said something about it.
She showed them off.
She'd make you her employee. She was like, I'm going to be a woman, but you're going to work for me. Yeah. And like, I don't know. I just love her. And I think that she's so cool and she relates to everybody and she doesn't judge and she's unapologetically who she is.
Yep.
She's never had kids, but she's married and her husband stays in the shadows, like, because that's how they wanted their life to be. And I just think that she's super cool.
My kids get her books.
Yeah, her freaking, like, she, oh my God, I just love her. She wants everyone to be educated and well-read and smart and independent.
Yeah.
And make their own choices and not, and just do whatever it is that you want to do. And
so she has a book thing called Imagination Station, I think, or Imagination. Imagination Library.
I worked on it in college, actually.
Did you really?
No, I worked on the marketing
for it. Yeah, so she does this thing where if you sign up, it's completely free and they will send you. No.
Really?
No, it's every child in your family before you're five.
Yeah, before
you're five. Once you turn five, it stops. Once
a month.
And so Wells and Meyer are still on it. Audrey used to get them all the time. Audrey obviously is almost eight, so she hasn't. But yeah, they get one book a month.
Do you get the same books?
No, they're different. It depends on their age and their gender of what books they're getting. Okay. And it's like age appropriate and gender appropriate.
I thought it was one per... that's so crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah. So, like, sometimes Wells will get, like a truck book because, like, they know he's a little two-year-old boy. And then Meyer will get things about, like, fairies and stuff like that. Like, it's very appropriate for, like, who they are.
I think the kids that work on it now are in Knoxville. I'm pretty sure Knoxville University of Tennessee is the one that...
That's cool.
...hosts it. Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, Dolly's awesome.
Yeah, so we get her books. Yeah, we've been doing it for a long time.
I was going to say something else about her, but I forgot what it was.
I know. I just know she's Miley Cyrus's godmother.
She is. She is. She's just a really cool person.
My foot's asleep. Her
nephew's the head of her security team.
Really?
Yeah, I just learned that today.
That's cool.
She has Dollywood.
Mm-hmm. I've never been.
What?
Yeah, I've never been.
We have to go.
They have a big thing in Branson, too. Branson, Missouri.
For Dolly?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know what that... What is it?
It's called... Oh, I want to say it's called Silver Dollar City, but I'm not 100% sure. I'll tell you. Hold on. Branson, Missouri.
One of my friends' mom... owns well, I guess it's her parents. They own two properties in Gallenberg or Pigeon Forge, really.
Dolly Parton Stampede is in Branson, Missouri. Oh,
that's a show.
Yeah. It's an extravaganza joining horse stunts, musical productions, and special effects with home cooking dinner.
Yeah, it's called the Dixie Stampede in Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
But we'll have to go because we can get that cabin for a great deal. And it's yeah. nice. It's
yeah.
It's kid friendly. There's a high chair.
Oh. Wells doesn't even use a high chair.
I know, but I'm just saying. Like,
let's go.
It's kid friendly. So I can get that cabin if we ever want to go.
Yeah.
It's
in Gatlinburg?
It's in Pigeon Forge.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
I would rather stay in Pigeon Forge than Gatlinburg.
Because, I've never been to either.
Oh, we'll have to go. We used to go every year for like a weekend or a week or whatever.
I went to Nashville for my vacations. See my aunt.
Oh, that's so funny. You were so close I to know. Gatlinburg. That's where my grandparents honeymooned.
In Gatlinburg? I have mm-hmm. friends who've honeymooned in Gatlinburg.
My grandmother was born with a year or so within the same time Dolly was. Mm-hmm. So my granny grew up with Dolly Parton.
Mm.
Just as I grew up with Taylor Swift.
Yep. Just like Taylor Swift.
I know.
Who was basically in the same footsteps as Patsy Cline and Dolly Parton.
She's like showing that women can do it.
Yeah. She's showing women can do it. And she's also showing on top of that, that like, it doesn't matter what you look like or who you are. Like,
or where she you come is. From.
Yeah. And like, I think she's taking a great way how she's doing it because she's a white woman.
Yeah.
In her 20s. And so.
She's 30.
Taylor Swift is 30. Mm. I thought she was our age.
She's a year and a half older than me.
Oh.
Maybe a year. I don't know. She's a grade older than me.
She's a grade older. Yeah. No, oh, no. Yeah. We'll be 29 this year.
Yeah.
I forgot
she's
about
either
that.
She's either already 30 or she's gonna turn 30 this year.
She will turn. She already turned 30.
Yeah.
She's born December 13th, 1989.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so she's Will's age,
Ben's age. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Interesting. At age 14, she became the youngest artist signed by Sony ATV Music Publishing House, and at 15, she signed her first record deal.
Yeah.
And so, like, she is the like basic white girl with like full white privilege, and what she's doing with that is showing everything about people who are not privileged.
Absolutely.
And like
she's
using her
everyone else
yeah
too.
She's using her platform to bring everybody up.
I mean, what she's done, the song she's written, and how she holds her head high even when people try to drag her through the mud,
mm-hmm.
is just showing that, hey, it's a, like, I'm Taylor freaking Swift, and people are mean to me, and they bully me, and they make fun of me, and I keep my head high, and I'm owning all of them. And no, I'm not the richest person in the world because I give my money to charity.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of person she is, and I don't care what you have to say about her singing, and you're full of crap if you don't like it.
Oh, I think she's a great singer.
Yeah.
I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter, and they are obsessed with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, because she writes good stuff that speaks to everybody.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the way she sings it, other people do covers of her work because her work is so amazing.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a really cool experience to hear, like, my grandmother talk about Dolly Parton and her music and how it affected her and how she, because we're from Tennessee, you know.
Yeah.
It's very, I mean, it speaks to everybody, but being from that state, I feel like you're just like, oh, those are the mountains. But the same thing happening with Taylor Swift and, like, growing up and hearing how she felt and how it speaks to me, just, I feel like it transcends, like, every generation needs one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. But Taylor Swift is our last person, and that's wrong because
I know.
We stopped it.
Well, our last person, we're going to end really quickly.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about your last person. Go ahead. I'm checking up on Wells, but you can continue. Okay.
It's Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Mm-hmm.
She's the second woman on the Supreme Court. And I found out about Ruth Bader when I was in high school sitting in American government class.
Okay.
Which was a joke of a class for me. But I just think she's really cool because I listened to a podcast about her. I can't remember what it was. A couple years ago, and I learned a lot, and ever since then I've just really followed her, and I never realized how prevalent she still is even today. But what she did is she was coming up as a lawyer, a young lawyer,
mm-hmm.
right around the time of Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And what she would do, and this is, I don't think she had anything to do with Roe v. Wade other than maybe she did, I can't remember, but anyway, she was coming up around that time. And what she would do is she was mentored by this guy, this really great lawyer who would take on these little cases that didn't mean much. And she'd be like, why are we doing this? But it would be a case like a black versus a white, or a woman versus a man, or a woman versus the state. Yeah. Little cases that didn't matter, and he would win them.
Yeah.
And what it would do is set a precedent for a bigger case to come down later on in the world. And what he was showing her was even the small cases matter that you don't think they do, because later on when a big case puts, you know, comes to you, you have a precedent to fight for.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how she started her career. And now she's the second woman on the Supreme Court, extremely liberal and like so tough. She won't give up her seat. Like,
I know she's 83. Cool. Is that how old she was?
86. Yeah, she's 86. She was appointed in 1993 by...
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Ronald Reagan was the first one. He did Sandra Day in 1981.
Yeah.
She's 89. Which
she was the first. Yeah, and she's 89.
She retired.
Yeah, she gave up her seat.
She's not quite as tough-headed as Ruth is.
Yeah.
I think we should all be just like...
Yeah, but Ruth is definitely going to just... She's not going to give her seat. She's going to die on the
Supreme
Court.
She's going to die first. Yeah. She's going to be like, screw all of you. She's like the Queen of England.
I wonder who the oldest Supreme Court person is.
Is probably a man, so I should care, but I just don't know. Right now.
Anyway. All right, guys. Well, that was our hot mess episode of today. I promise we'll get back on the ball soon.
No, I think it was fun.
Yeah. I can hear Wells cry, so I'm going to go pick up my house, wait for my oldest to get home, the poor girl, and baby her, and get her all cuddled up on the couch and watch some movies with her. And yeah, that's all we have planned for the rest of the day.
I'm going to go take a nap.
Wait, didn't you take a nap earlier?
I didn't really take a nap.
Oh, you just laid there and relaxed.
I read a book. I took a walk and read.
Does Alice cuddle with you when you're laying in bed?
In bed, yes. On the couch, depends.
If the dogs are there?
No, it depends on if Ben's there.
Really? She doesn't like Ben?
No, she loves Ben.
Oh, so she wants Ben to be there.
Yeah, she's more likely to cuddle with me if Ben's in the room. If Ben's not in the room, she does something else. But I don't know. She loves Ben as much as she loves me, just me a little bit more.
Mm.
Alice is my cat.
Yeah. I don't even know.
They're like, what is going on? Who's Alice? Oh, she's a cat.
Yep. All right, guys. You can follow us on Instagram at Our Lady Parts Podcast, or you can find us online at ourladyparts.com. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.